As we celebrate the feast of St. Francis, may the joy of Christ in all of God's good creation be evident to us and a reason to give thanks. Amen. St. Francis, what a character. One Bible historian put it this way: St. Francis started out as a playboy who loved parties and luxurious lifestyle. But several events caused him to break down and enter a time of serious soul searching. He began to have dreams and visions and slowly awakened to a new sense of self and a new sense of purpose. And during this time, he began to read the Gospels, and soon he felt drawn to imitate in his life the very life of Christ. And so he renounced his former life in exchange for a life of simplicity, in exchange for a life of humility and poverty too. And it was all marked by preaching of the kingdom of God. He lived a simple life, but it was also a life of great joy and deep love. St. Francis is said to have laughed and danced and wrote songs and was often overcome by the beauty of nature. Some say he loved everyone and everything. And people were drawn to him and began to be part of his band of men who worked together to fulfill the needs of others according to their understanding of the life of Christ. Of course, some people just thought he was mad and dismissed him with out of hand. But he loved not only other human beings, but of course all of creation. It was said that he sang or preached even to animals, to birds, to beasts of the woods. And he lived a remarkable life because he's credited for rebuilding the church. Even in the 13th century, can you imagine in the 13th century, people were beginning to wander away from the church. And there were church buildings beginning to crumble. And so St. Francis decided that he was going to rebuild those churches. And he rebuilt them not only by how he lived his life, but certainly his hands were on many stones that were used to rebuild those old churches in Italy so many years ago. More than 800 years have passed since St. Francis first walked the streets of Assisi, and he's still an inspiration to many people. His words seem as fresh and relevant as ever. 3 million people make the pilgrimage to his tomb every year. And clearly there is a hunger in the world for that kind of spirituality, the thing that you're willing to dedicate your life to, the thing that becomes bigger than you are, a hunger for something deep and meaningful and authentic and spiritual. For St. Francis, as for us who have gathered today, that's a hunger for the gospel, for the good news of Jesus Christ. Recognizing that God has made it so very simple for us to follow him. In many ways, there are only two commandments: love God and love your neighbor. And if you love God and love your neighbor, everything else begins to fall into place. Moreover, as we love God and love our neighbor, we recognize our own sinfulness. We repent of those sins, and our life does indeed change. For we know that this life is only an imitation of a greater life which is to come. We have the promise of forgiveness and everlasting life. Simplicity. I tend to think everyone wants it, and yet it becomes so very hard. It was hard in the 13th century, according to St. Francis, to live a simple life. How much harder it is 800 or so years later. Perhaps we would do well to live our lives a little bit more closely to the life of St. Francis. I'm not saying put on coarse garments and wander the streets. Although I must admit, the idea that Lutherans would put on coarse garments and wander the streets with the gospel of Jesus Christ does kind of intrigue me. Everyone should not do that tomorrow. A few people are probably needed to live their lives according to some of the needs of the world. But it would be so useful for us to keep that idea in our minds that perhaps we should live a more simple life. The world dictates to us so many things, how we should do this, when we should do this, what foods we should eat, and our family and friends tend to make it more complicated too. Many of our lives are kind of interwoven with the lives of other people and how their lives would change if our life would change. And yet a desire for simplicity is, I think, a good desire. Because perhaps if we lived a more simple life, we'd spend more time thinking about the blessings that God has given us, about our own sinfulness and about our need to live a changed life, a joyful changed life. Lutherans are not necessarily known very much for singing and dancing. It's not part of our, I think, cultural heritage. I tend to think when we think about suffering, we can identify with suffering, but joy and laughter seem a bit foreign to us at times. My suggestion is, as you strive to live a more simple life, find opportunities to laugh and to sing and to joke and to rejoice in a good creation which God has made especially for you. He's made the sun for you and the moon for you. He's made water for you. He's made all the creatures of the earth for you. There are enormous reasons. There are millions of reasons to rejoice, and perhaps only a handful of reasons to despair. I think if the world could see happy Christians living faith-filled lives, the world would have to take us seriously. The world would have to take all of Christ's promises more seriously. Let us be joyful. We have more reasons to be happy than we have reasons to be unhappy. Let us be thankful. God has blessed us abundantly. And if we can't see that, perhaps we need to open our eyes a bit wider. Let us recognize our neighbor as a child of God, even if our neighbor is angry with us or treats us badly. Indeed, our neighbor was made in the image and likeness of God. We should be able to see God's face when we look at our neighbor, even if that face is a bit scowling. As we live a joyful Christian life, as we reach out to others with the love of Christ, I believe the world will change. I believe Francis believed that too. How we live our lives is the best tool that we can use to change the world. And if we're willing to live joyful, positive, Christian, courageous lives, I think the world will have to take note, and I can assure you there'll be some changes that'll happen. Good changes for the sake of our children and perhaps for our grandchildren. Today's a good day to start. When I was a child, my mother told me a few simple rules. One of the simple rules she told me was that if you make a mess, you have to clean it up. Most of other mothers may have said that too. And if you become an adult and someone else makes a mess, well, golly gee willikers, you might just have to clean that mess up too. That's the price of being an adult. Let's do that. There's a lot of messes in this world. Let's do a better job of cleaning some of them up, even if they're not ours. Let's not make a mess, and let's clean up some of the other messes so that maybe our kids or our grandkids or our great-grandkids can look back and say, what a generation that must have been. How wonderful it must have been to live during those times when people were actually actively trying to clean up the world, to clean up the environment, to clean up their own personal lives, to clean up the politics and rules of our day. What a wonderful time it must have been. What a heroic bunch of people though they must have been. I would like to think that was a possibility. Actually, I believe it is a possibility. May God bless us as we hear His word. May we see in the life of Francis the attributes of Christ: selflessness, humility, kindness, faithfulness, chastity. May we live our lives more joyful than perhaps we thought is possible. May we find excuses to give thanks to God. And may others see what we do and not say, "Hey, you're a great person," but say, "Tell me about this God whom you worship, because He must be remarkable. Your life is so very different now." Amen.